Okay, we're gonna call the meeting of the Zoning Board of Appeals to order. Will the secretary please call the roll?
You can, sure.
Mr. Bernie?
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Here.
Mr. Lucchese?
Here.
Ms. O'Brien?
Here.
Ms. Schupkegel?
Here.
Mr. Smetana?
Here.
Chairman Martin?
Here. All right, so we have a quorum. The first matter on the agenda this evening is to approve the minutes from our meeting that was held on March 14th. Those minutes have been distributed. There are a few changes marked in them from what was delivered to us at the end of last week. Everybody had a chance to review these? Any questions? All right, so if someone who's present at the meeting on the 14th would make a motion to approve these minutes?
I'll make a motion.
Is there a second?
I second.
Any discussion? Okay, well, call the roll, please.
Ms. Schupkegel?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Bernie?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, and we have findings of fact on the two matters that we discussed that evening. The first is the variation request for the property at 559 Ashland. And again, I asked Mr. Raddatz to make a few changes. That caused the most red ink here is I asked him to make sure that the minutes, that the findings recited the standards, not just how we thought the standards were addressed, but what the standards were and whether or not we found that the standard has been met. So that everybody had a chance to review these findings of fact related to 559 Ashland.
Yes.
Any discussion? Somebody want to make a motion to approve these findings?
I make motion.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion? Can you call the roll, please?
Ms. Schupkegel?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Bernie?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. We also have the findings of fact for the text amendments to the zoning code. And similarly, Mr. Raddatz has made a few changes to these. If everyone's had an opportunity to review these, will somebody make a motion to approve these findings?
I make motion.
All right, second?
Second.
Any discussion? Want to call the roll, please?
Ms. Schupkegel?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Mr. Bernie?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes. All right, the next matter on the agenda is a variation request for the property at 755 Williams. Anyone who's going to address the board this evening needs to have signed up with Mr. Raddatz. And if you're going to address the board, would you please stand up now and get sworn in?
To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
All right, so we would ask the applicant or their representative or representatives to approach the podium and present this application for the zoning variation, please.
Hi, my name is Daniel Larber. I'm the applicant's planner and attorney. I've been a planner for, 46 years. I started when I was 6 years old, and I've lived in River Forest about 32 years. Next slide, please. The applicant is Lydia Manning here. She is seeking two variations from section 10-9-7. One is a variation from the 13-foot side yard requirement so she could build the proposed addition, continuing the current 7 2/3 foot nonconforming setback in the secondary front yard on Chicago Avenue. The other is a variation to maintain the current roof line for the proposed addition, namely continuing on the second floor the nonconforming 5-foot setback of the existing roof overhang currently used on the first floor level. It's an R2 district. It is a on the southeast corner of Chicago Avenue and William, which makes it a corner lot, which gives it the unique characteristic of having, under our zoning code, two front yards. Even though, as you will see, as will be explained by our architect, the north side that bears no resemblance whatsoever to a front yard, there's no entrance, it is a side yard, is what I like to call a legal fiction calling it a front yard, but that is what required, that's what's in the code, and that is why we are here before you today. Next slide. This is the house as it exists. We will, in our presentation, and we're going to be fluid, it's not going to be just one person speaking and they'll never come back. We will try to adhere as closely as possible to providing you the evidence that shows that this these variations, this proposal, meets the criteria to grant both variations. So with that said, and advancing to the next slide, let me turn it over to our architect, Pat Magner.
Good evening, my name is Pat Magner. I'm an architect in Oak Park and have been in my own business for 31 years and have done numerous projects in River Forest. I was retained by Ms. Manning to design an addition to this building on William Street. And one of the things that is important to note, I'm sure you all realize this is considered a historic block in the village. And there are 50-foot wide lots beginning at Chicago Avenue all the way down to the corner, except the south corner of the block on both sides are wider lots. I think they're 74 point something. But nonetheless, there's a string of 12 50-foot wide lots starting at Chicago Avenue. What's interesting about these houses on this block, as you all know, is they are were designed sort of uniquely together, if that's a phrase, so that there's some consolidation of design. In other words, there's a gable roof, a hip roof, a gable roof, and so on. And they were all sited on these 50-foot wide lots such that they're, you know, there's a rhythm to them. What's interesting is you could have, or they could have, almost drawn these house plans out of a hat and intersperse them on these 50-foot lots, because there's nothing that's a character of the house at that corner, the northeast corner and the northwest corner of that block, that gives it a secondary front yard. As our attorney mentioned, there's no side entry, there's no steps, there's nothing that says that that's actually a front yard, which is really unusual in the village. I took the opportunity, and I go through River Forest all the time, but I actually went down up and down almost all of the east-west streets in the village, and it's very, very rare to find a house that's like that, that doesn't have at least steps, a side door, a something on that east-west street. So I wanted to point that out because this is quite an unusual use of a corner lot. It's, as I say, there's no, it's truly a side yard and not a corner yard. One of the things that I thought about in the design of this project was, obviously this is a historic block. We want to maintain the character of the architecture that's part of this block and this particular house. And with a 13-foot setback off of Chicago Avenue on a house that's already located only 6.64 feet off of the property line, it creates an addition that the roof lines don't even work out well, because you have this squished addition on a wider house. If you note in the packets that you have, there's a plat of survey and a site plan that shows the existing house and the proposed addition. From the zoning ordinance, we know that a side yard setback on a 50-foot wide lot is 5 feet, and a combined 12 and a half. In this scenario, because it's a 5 foot on one side and a 13 on the other, we're in a situation where we have less buildable width than all the other 50-foot wide lots on either side of this block. And there's only, again, there's only two lots on this block that have this condition. So it's a hardship in the sense that you have a house that is strictly street-facing, but the owner can build less of an addition or a smaller addition in the back than any of the other lots on the block. On the site plan that shows the proposed addition, it's noted that the existing setback to the property line to the south is 9.13. It doesn't show on the plat of survey, but if you add up the dimensions, there's 9.13 feet to the south property line. Now, yes, in theory, you could say, well, we can build 4 foot closer to that south lot line, but in practicality, it's really incredibly difficult because that south wall is a bearing wall. You've got the lows of the first floor, the second floor, the roof. And so to say, well, we can take this box and shift it over 4 feet, it really doesn't make any economic sense to do that. Not that economics is important, but aesthetically, too, you're taking a house that has this nicely shaped roof and doing a disjointed addition on the top of it. One of the issues that we wanted to bring, or not issues, but things we wanted to bring up is because of this setback, the existing 9 foot setback on the south side, we don't intend to encroach on the neighbor anymore than is already there. And that we'll address that in the standards, but we could conceivably push toward that side, but in fairness to that block and to the neighbor, we don't want to impede the light and air and so on. If you go to the floor plans, we have in the packet existing and proposed first and second floor plans. And you'll see on the proposed floor plan a 13-foot setback line and where that falls in the house. And it doesn't even make the connection of the living room to the addition a feasible space because now you have this tiny strip between the stairs and the setback line. So it creates a situation where you have unworkable space on the back of the house. Oops, excuse me, here's my paper. In the standards that are part of the village zoning ordinance, I'd like to just kind of go through and make some points about each of them. Standard one says the physical surrounding shape or topographical conditions of the specific property involved will bring a specific hardship upon the owner as distinguished from an inconvenience if the strict letter of the regulations were to be carried out. And then it continues, there is no other means than the requested variation by which the alleged hardship or difficulty can be avoided or remedied to a degree sufficient to permit a reasonable use of the property. As I mentioned, the 13-foot setback renders this addition sort of a inaccessible or unusable back of the house, because one of the things you're going to hear in Ms. Manning's testimony is that part of her desire to add on to this house is to make it adult or aging adult friendly. She has some disability issues with her parents and potentially herself, and we want to have enough space that this house is usable for somebody who might be in a wheelchair or in a walker. And by constricting these spaces, it makes it very difficult for someone of those conditions. And even though it's, you guys are zoning and not historic, by following that setback, that 13-foot setback, we're going to create an oddly shaped house that doesn't really fit in the architecture of that neighborhood. Standard two mentions the physical condition did not result from any action of the person who has an interest in the property, but was created by natural forces or was the result of governmental action or other than the adoption of the zoning ordinance for which no compensation was paid. Well, as we know, this house was built about 100 years ago, long before Ms. Manning purchased this. And certainly not any condition that she created. And as I mentioned previously, the fact that this is one of a group of houses that sits on a 50-foot lot that just strictly faces William Street, it's in a condition that's created by the designer of this thing 100 years ago. Standard number 3 says the conditions upon which the petition for variation is based may not be generally applicable to other property within the same zoning classification. And that is really true for this block, as I mentioned, with the way that these houses are designed. Just one in 12 50-foot lots on each side of this block have this situation, and neither of those two corner lots has any sort of front yard facing Chicago Avenue. Standard 4, the purpose of the variation is not based predominantly on a desire for economic gain. In fact, it's totally opposite, because she wants to, Ms. Manning wants to create this house for the use of her, to be able to house her parents as necessary. With the proposed or planned senior center being built 3 blocks away, if it becomes a situation where her parents have to move to that location, she's 3 blocks away and can assist there in their needs if she's unable to keep them in the house. That's, again, that's part of the reason why she was considered by this house. Number 5, the granting of this variation shall not be detrimental to the public welfare or unduly injurious to the enjoyment, use, or development value of other property or improvements in the neighborhood to which the property is located. You're going to hear testimony from one of the neighbors that he's actually in favor of this proposal, but it should be noted that there's no neighbor to the Chicago Avenue side of this property, so there's no it's not detrimental to any neighbor on the north side, and we are maintaining an existing setback on the south side so as not to encroach on the neighboring property. Standard 6, the proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light or air to the adjacent property or substantially increase the danger of fire or otherwise endanger the public safety or substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. Again, the neighbor to the south will be giving some testimony, and because we are not, again, moving this thing further to the south, it does not impinge on any air or light to that property, and keeps a certain, you know, maintains the existing setback dimension between those two buildings. The current house is somewhat deteriorated. It doesn't meet, certainly not standards that we're used to. It's very obsolete. It has a tiny bathroom that you can barely turn around in. The powder room was shoehorned into a coat closet on the first floor. And in many ways, it's obsolete. It's not practical for current conditions, and particularly in a situation where Ms. Manning is intending to bring her parents into the house at some point. Standard number 7, the granting of the variation would not unduly tax public utilities and facilities in the area. The number of residents in this house at any one time is not going to be any greater than any other house on the block or in the neighborhood. It's typical of a house of this size, so there will be no other excessive demands on utilities or facilities in the neighborhood. At this point, I'd like to turn it over to Ms. Manning.
We're interchangeable. Dark hair, glasses, who could tell the difference? The slide that's up there right now recounts the current situation at the house, much of which Pat addressed. I'd like to particularly emphasize the need to seamlessly place Lydia's goal of placing an addition at the rear of the house to allow enough space and facilities that makes it usable for people who are aged and likely will need accommodations that would enable them to be wheelchair accessible. So the proposed, if you comply with the 13-foot setback, you wind up with, as Cliff calculated, about 29.5-foot buildable width, and that simply does not allow, as Dr. Manning will be able to address, she is a gerontologist, she knows this stuff far better than I do, the space needed for somewhat people who need to use a wheelchair to get around, to turn around, and attain accessibility. Her goal is to be as accessible as possible for people with disabilities. And I would say that, I would add that, you know, granting these variations would constitute a reasonable accommodation for people with disabilities. And we do request that they be approved as a reasonable accommodation. We're going to zoom through a few slides now. Next slide, please. This is the house and the house across the street. And you can see the house across the street on Chicago Avenue. There's a good deal of distance there, so there is no impact on the neighbor to the north of allowing this variation. Next slide, please. These are technical that will be addressed later. Next slide. Next slide. This is a summary of what Pat was talking about with this property being, the conditions are not generally applicable. It's only 8% of the properties on this block face, which is the two sides of the block, are subject to this sort of regulation that have are 50 feet in width. There are two properties that are 75 feet in width, and you can do a lot more with that, and you could comply with the 13-foot setback with a 75-foot wide lot and have usable space. But with a 50-foot wide lot and only 29 feet that you can build on, you've got a big problem. Next slide, please. So we have these hardships that I'd like to specifically identify. Caused by the narrow width of the corner lot and the location of the house on the lot. As Pat described, conforming to the 13-foot setback essentially renders the addition inaccessible. It would place a new middle wall in the middle of the existing living room and sunroom. It would create, conforming with the ordinance, would create impractical and unusable obtusely shaped rooms, and create an oddly shaped house that does not maintain the home's historic characteristics and design and the design of the neighboring homes. Conforming would make the house difficult to use for most practical living purposes and prevent the addition from being fully accessible to Dr. Manning's aging parents. Next slide, please. I'd like to address the effect of allowing this sort of nonconformity for additions on other corner lots in River Forest. The point of bringing this up is not that these are precedents, because I know that the decisions of the ZBA are not precedential, but to show that they have not generated adverse impacts by allowing additions on these corner lots that do not conform with the 13-foot setback. So we've got these five addresses here, and three of them are in the binder. I also want to point out that there's simply no negative effects in comparable fact situations, and it's relevant to this situation. Also, that the variations are necessary to maintain the architectural integrity of this historic house and maintain the fidelity of its architecture. So if you go to the next slide, please, there's 559 Jackson, and you can see that allowing them to continue their setback did not destroy the neighborhood. Certainly did not generate any adverse impacts. Things look perfectly normal there. Next slide, please. My neighbor at 632 Bonnie Bray, just a block west of us, same sort of situation. They only had a 4-foot setback with a 2-foot eave, and the back half of that house was added on after getting approval from the ZBA, and it has not affected the neighborhood. We go walk past it many times during the week, and I cannot see any way in which it reduces the enjoyment of neighboring properties or poses any negative effects on any neighboring properties or on the neighborhood as a whole. Next slide, please. And now we turn it over to Lydia.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I know that you're busy. I appreciate your time. I'm going to address the remaining four standards and hopefully illustrate some of the points from my perspective that have been made. In addressing standard four, again, no addition. The addition is not about economic gain. I think we've clearly communicated for me as the homeowner of 755 William, I invested in the property to stay here to invest in the community and the neighborhood. For those of you who don't know me, I am a gerontologist. I have an affinity and love for all things old, people, buildings, animals, you name it. I wanted to invest in this community. I purchased 755 William with the intent of bringing the building back to life the best I could. I am a futurist. I think long range. I think probably 35 years out in the future, more so than the average bear. It's not lost on me that I am an only child, and I am a daughter of aging parents who eventually will come and live in River Forest, hopefully with me at some point. I have the longevity bonus on my side, so I plan fully to be their care partner and hopefully an age-friendly and dementia-friendly community here in River Forest. So addressing standard number four, there's no economic gain to this addition. Again, it's about accessibility and a term we use in universal design, visibility. Visitability, excuse me, and being able to have a place where aging people, older adults, mainly my parents, can come and be welcomed and be able to come into my space. It's also about updating an obsolete home to help form to community standards in which we live. Next slide, please. Standard five, as we mentioned before, the addition will be placed further away, what we're proposing, from the adjacent home to the south. If I'm forced to conform to the existing standard, then I'm likely to encroach on standard six on the light and air of the Bobox who are here tonight. So standards five and six are addressed. I want to make sure to maintain their quality of life and their property. Standard seven, when occupied with just me in it or my aging family members or all the other older adults I collect, I can't imagine there being an increase any more so than an average house, a house comparable to its size in River Forest on electricity, gas, phone, cable, etc. And also, I just want to make the point as an aside, this house is not a huge house by River Forest standards. The house's footprint is 34 by 26. We're in a room 50 by 26. So just to give you perspective of the space that we're talking about. And standard eight, again, I stand before you tonight asking for variations that will constitute reasonable accommodations that will allow my parents to come be with me if necessary. As I said before, hopefully in an age-friendly and dementia-friendly community. I purchased 755 William with actually excited about the fact that a senior living facility was going to be on the corner of Harlem in Chicago. I know that was a contentious decision in this village. I, along with one other colleague, gave testimony to the village trustees in favor of that. So for me, it was a plus to be able to be close to that as I think about the future. It's important, again, to have a space that I feel is accessible and that can accommodate older adults. Next slide, please. Just to give you a little context, these are my grandparents, lived well into their 90s, just died this past calendar year, and my parents, who I imagine will, especially my father, will probably live to be every bit of 95 with dementia and probably in my house. So next slide, concluding points. What if the variation isn't granted? I would argue that the space then becomes obsolete and inaccessible to people with disabilities and older adults. I would argue that if I'm forced to conform to the existing conditions and existing standards, I could very well create architecture that wouldn't be in line with the 700 block of William. And I believe that a hardship for me would be compliant to the strict requirements of the zoning ordinance. My last point is that all the proposed changes that I'm asking to make for 755 William, every single thing else meets all standards and regulations. Thank you.
You can each take one and pass it around. I'm pretty sure I've got enough for everyone, maybe more than enough. This is
essentially a summary. I'm not going to go through it one by one. I think you all would like to get home at some point. of the evidence that we've been presenting at the Gold Each Standard and the evidence that we anticipate will be presented by, we hope will be presented by some of the neighbors. But essentially, standards 1 and 8 have been addressed by both Pat and Lydia in terms of how this particular property creates a hardship and there's an absence of viable alternatives because of the narrow lot width and the location of the house. So they would combine to create these hardships that are listed here, which I mentioned earlier. The condition has been established that causes these hardships was created over 100 years ago when the house was built. And the conditions on which the variation is based generally do not apply to other property in the area. Again, only about 8% of the properties on the 700 block of William are 50 feet wide and treated as having two front yards. The north side of the property does not exhibit any of the characteristics of a front yard, and I hope you will take that into consideration. Unlike most of the houses that are on Chicago Avenue on corner lots, those have their front doors on Chicago Avenue. Some have Chicago Avenue addresses. This does not. It's just a side yard from all practical purposes. As Lydia has testified, the purpose of these variations is to enable her to build, rehab the house, and build an addition that will be handicapped accessible. And it's not purely for economic gain. It's so that her aging parents, who obviously have a long lineage ahead of them, can live there with her while they are capable of living that independently. As I think the testimony that will be coming from some of the neighbors, and as we have noted, it's a little hard to see how this could be detrimental to public welfare or injurious at all to the enjoyment, use, or development of the property. As you can see from the slides that we showed you of other homes that have continued non-conforming side yards on a corner lot, it's a little hard to figure out what harm there is possible from those situations. The variation, I think you can understand pretty clearly, if the variation is granted, the addition will be 8 feet further north of the Bobek's house, the house immediately south of them, than if there was no variation granted. That opens up more light and air to the Bobek's house. It also reduces the chances of flames leaping from one house to the other, and it prevents the Bobek's house from being boxed in. We did show a slide of their house. South of them is a new construction house, very lengthy into the yard. If this addition were forced to be 8 feet closer to them, they would have a sensation of being boxed in, which certainly would harm their enjoyment of the house and possibly harm their property values. And again, you know, it's a little hard to figure out how this possibly could tax public utilities and facilities in the area. The number of people living here will not be different than other homes in the area, possibly the same number of people who lived in the house, the previous owners, and it's not likely to generate a whole heck of a lot of additional demands on electricity, water, sewer, et cetera. So we would be happy, as you, whatever procedure you want to do, to answer any questions now or wait until after the neighbors speak to answer any questions, whatever your pleasure is.
If you're done with your presentation, our procedures, they have anybody else who has signed up speak at this point? You done?
Tom Bierzchnik.
Thank you. My name is Tom Bierzchnik, and I live at the other 50-foot corner lot at 754 William, directly across the street from the house under discussion. Before I get started, I want to welcome Ms. Manning to River Forest, welcome her to the 700 block of William Street. I'm thankful that she bought on the block, and I'm thankful that she wants to preserve the house. As we know, the village, along with the Historic Preservation Commission, has failed the last three attempts at saving historic homes. And thanks to Ms. Manning, she wants to preserve the home. So I am, number one, I'm in favor of anything it takes to make sure that that happens. In addition, my house also has an addition on it. The original house was 6.8 inches from the lot line. The addition is 6.5 inches from the lot line, so it's even closer than the original house. It's been there for 30 years. Most people don't even know there's an addition on that house. It looks to be original to the house. It blends in very well. It does not impose on anyone. I feel it's added to the value of the house and to the attraction to the neighborhood in general. So I do have, you know, my plot of survey as well if people want to see that. I'm in favor of the addition as proposed by Ms. Manning, number one, because it mostly preserves the original look of the house. I think anything other than that will make it look like an addition and make it look awkward and not fitting with the property. And you know, I guess that's really the only comment I have. I have no objections to anything that is in the plan. I'm just excited and looking forward to seeing this house come back to life. She's done a lot of work so far already that has helped and improved the neighborhood and the property itself, and I'm confident that she'll continue to do that. Thank you.
Jan Sager.
Jan Sager, 435 William. First, thank you to the Zoning Board of that hears the appeals. Your great work is always appreciated. Dr. Manning is to be commended for planning living spaces to benefit her parents. I generally support our village ordinances, and when I have commented to our board or to a commission, I have not been in favor of the variance requests, taking a very objective yet realistic position. This time I do favor the variance request. There is growing support to help people age in place. Our village president referenced in her State of the Village address February 25th. March 11th, she signed a pledge for making River Forest a place for successful aging, as have many other mayors and presidents for their municipalities. Actually, anyone of any age might require better access to the rooms to have as much control over their lives as possible. Our old houses weren't built to adapt to changing access needs. Doorways are narrow. Floor plans do inhibit maneuverability. Dr. Manning wants to save the house, not destroy it. She has showed this by acquiring the plaque that notes the historic importance of the house, but she needs to build an addition to make all the spaces accessible. 1102 Franklin was a mansion. That's another house with an addition that needed a variance approval, as did 710 William. I have no idea if the additions were built with a focus on accessibility, but this plan does have that focus. Even though my reasons are subjective this time, they are still realistic, and I do hope you'll approve Dr. Manning's request. Thank you.
Joe Boback.
Joe Boback. I live at 751 William, right next door to the proposed house addition. And, you know, I guess my feeling is, you know, and it has always been, if you buy a piece of property or whatever else, you should be able to do whatever you want to with it, you know, within reason. In with regard to this addition, I would prefer to see it, the addition made to the north rather than, you know, right next door to me, for the reasons that were stated, because it will, you know, just be too close and encroach, you know, too much on my existing property. So I don't have any problem with the plan that, you know, that's been presented by Dr. Manning.
Did
There's no one else who signed up to address the board. So at this point, we'll ask Mr. Lauber if there's anything else you want to, you or your team wants to address this week. Okay, so we're going to close the public portion of the hearing, and the board will discuss it and see if we can make a recommendation to the village board. Have we got any questions? All right, I had a question for the architect then. On the site plan,
okay, the proposed site plan?
Oh, and look, I got something here that says site plan.
That's the proposed, yeah. This shows the shaded addition.
It appears that there is the north side of this home is a straight line from the east to west.
No, there's actually a little bump there. If you, can we go to?
There's a bump. There's a bump on this other one.
Yeah, there is. I think it's what you're probably seeing is the lettering of the word existing probably is overlaid on the little offset there. It's if you go to the floor plans for the house.
So which are we supposed to follow, the floor plan or the?
Well, I just wanted to say we are maintaining the setback of the what's really a sunroom right now, which is set back an additional foot from that side wall that's closest to Chicago Avenue. So if you were to look on the, it says revised first floor plan or revised for second floor plan, you'll see that there's about a 1 foot offset there, and that's the setback.
So the proposed addition is going to line up with the existing sunroom.
Correct. Not with the wall closest to Chicago Avenue.
Is there work going on at this house now?
I took down trim. And when I took down my wood trim, parts of the plaster, the walls came down, the ceiling's coming down, the roof's leaking. I didn't anticipate it being April 11. I bought the house in October 10th of last year. And I didn't anticipate it being quite the journey that it's been to get here today to call it.
My dad.
Is he at the hospital?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Any other questions?
I have a question.
Yeah, sure.
On the plan that says revised first floor plan, there's a measurement on the top left-hand corner, 12.8.
That's the how much that sunroom wall is going to be extended toward the east.
Okay, so the based on the survey, from front to back of the house on that side, it's approximately 36 feet, and then you're going to add an extra 12.
Correct, to the total length of that building.
Cliff, are there any other variations that are needed in order to permit construction according to these plans?
No. The only two variations are needed are for continuation of the non-conforming wall in the secondary front yard as described, and construction of the roof eave at the second floor level, which matches the current roof eave, which is now over the sunroom at the first floor level.
Okay. Anybody else?
Well, not really, except I do kind of agree with the testimony that maybe too many historically significant things have not been preserved. And this is a house that needs preservation. It does have historic significance for us, the whole block does. So I would find myself kind of in favor of allowing this variation.
All right, if there's no other discussion, does somebody want to make a motion of some kind?
A motion?
Go ahead, please.
Okay, to approve the variance request.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
So it's been moved and seconded that we recommend to the Village Board of Trustees that these two variation requests be granted. Any discussion? All right, you want to, and remember, in order to support the motion, you have to find that each of the standards have been met, not just some of them. All right, Mr. Raddatz, you want to call the roll?
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. Schubkegel?
Yes.
Mr. Bernie?
I vote yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
Ms. O'Brien?
Yes.
Mr. Smietana?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
Yes.
All right, so the recommendation of the Zoning Board of Appeals to the Village Board will be 7-0 in favor of granting the variation. You can check with Village staff to see when this might be presented to the Village Board. Thank you for coming.
Thank you all.
There's nothing else on our agenda. We have a motion to dismiss.
I'll motion to dismiss.
I second you.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.